Soul. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, The Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today I am with Firebird Book Award-winning author Leonie Rosensteel for two of her books, Protecting Mama, Surviving the Legal Guardianship Swamp, and Legal Protection, Affordable Options for Individuals, Families, and Small Businesses. Jack Canfield, the co-creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, calls Leonie a cultural whistleblower. She started out as an award-winning classical musician. She graduated from Barnard College, then from the PhD program at Columbia University. Later, she also earned degrees in counseling ministry, oriental medicine, and public health. The Rockefeller Foundation and the American Council of Learned Societies awarded her grants, and for 6 years, she produced a public access TV show. She wrote, translated, and edited and contributed chapters to more than a dozen books, in addition to writing numerous articles and short stories, many of which have also won awards. She has served as an officer and a board member of educational, health-related, and arts-related organizations. Her book, Protecting Mama, Surviving the Legal Guardianship Swamp, has now won more than 50 awards, and the book, Legal Protection, Affordable Options for Individuals, has won 4. And these are topics of extreme importance, so everyone tune in, listen sharply. We've got lots of good information coming. Let's get going. Welcome to the network, Leonie.
Thank you very much, Pat. Pleasure to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you here. When I saw your books, especially Protecting Mama, I was very much attracted to that and the topic. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Congratulations on the Firebird Book Award wins. I was happy to share that with you.
Well, thank you so much. I've appreciated receiving all the accolades from people. And I get letters from people saying, oh, you've really touched a chord in me. I went through something similar, and I didn't know how to process the information, or I'm worried about my parents now, and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Leonie, people don't think about guardianship until it's too late. It's typically not something people think about ahead of time. And once it's too late, it's too late. So let's talk about that. These topics are quite distinct. And I know that you have a backstory. You took care of your mom, who had Alzheimer's, you took care of your husband, and you had struggles just with the whole guardianship setup. So maybe just give us a little peek backwards as to why you decided to write these books.
Well, the first one, I promised my mother I would tell the story. And it became an odyssey just to be legally entitled to tell the story, because they like to keep guardianship records under strict secrecy. And it took me 5 years after my mother passed away, and I was her only child and her only heir. I still had to go through a court process to get her records released so I could tell her story. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very strange Kafkaesque experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why. Why does it have to be like that? Are they hiding something? Why would it have to be that difficult?
Well, very often they say that it's for the benefit of the what they call the protected person, although I think these people are in great jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
They are not safe. They are very much out there and exposed and vulnerable, particularly people who are having mental issues. They're having Alzheimer's or other dementia-producing problems. And it's very hard for them. If they have complaints, it's hard because people will not listen to their complaints because they have been diagnosed with these conditions. They become quote-unquote unreliable witnesses, and if you listen to them, you can get gaslighted.
Yes.
Oh, you're stupid to listen to a person who has XYZ condition. You know that they don't know what they're talking about. Unfortunately, my mother had periods of lucidity, unfortunately for her, because it was painful when she experienced them, because she would do things like telling the chaplain that she was feeling very isolated and that the aides left her alone. I did not know this. They did not allow me to meet the chaplain from hospice.
Oh.
And if I had ever been able to meet him, we would have compared notes and found that she had told us both the same thing. But he was listening to her. I was listening to her. I knew what she was experiencing. He knew what she was experiencing. But we never could get together because I didn't know he was coming. I didn't know. They kept us separated.
When you say they kept us separated, hospice?
No. My mother had what was called a legal guardian who was appointed by the court.
Right.
And it was the legal guardian who made sure that I never met the chaplain.
Okay. All right. How did she come to get that legal guardianship, and why wasn't it you?
Okay. There is maneuvering that goes on. That's a polite way of putting it. When someone is influenceable, basically, when they become malleable due to dementia, people who are with them or who have authority from the court can manipulate them into saying various things. What they did with my mother was they took her into a room with three attorneys. I was not present. I didn't know about the meeting. There was somebody there who told me she was my attorney, but in fact she was being paid by the guardianship company. So these three attorneys and my mother, who had dementia, were in a room together, and they induced her to get rid of the power of attorney right before there was a guardianship hearing. I had a power of attorney for about 9 years, and I had been exercising it. Meanwhile, Mama was getting worse, and when she got bad enough, she had sliced off a piece of her thumb. She had forgotten how to use a checkbook. I mean, it was not deliberate. She just couldn't do these things anymore. She thought there was food on the counter, and she sliced off a piece of her thumb. And I walked in, and there was blood all over the kitchen. And there was no food anywhere on the counter. She was hallucinating it. I got her to urgent care, got the thumb sewn up, took 17 stitches in her thumb, for heaven's sake. And I realized she needed more help than having someone there with her from, you know, overnight. There was somebody staying with her overnight, and the person left in the middle of the day, and I would usually come and have lunch with her. And when I came to take her to lunch, that was what I found that day. So I didn't realize how bad it was until we started seeing those things happen. Mm-hmm. And I decided she was not safe with a checkbook in the house. And bank statements coming to the house. And I couldn't confiscate her mail without committing some kind of legal error. And so I went to the attorney that I had, who was our family attorney, and I said to him, what can I do? He said, well, the only thing you can do to have legal authority to do the things that you need to do is to get guardianship, and there's an attorney in my firm who specializes in that, and he referred me over to her. And that was when things started going seriously wrong. She turned out to be very closely allied to a circle of people who I later discovered had done similar things to other families. And she did it to me as well. She's my attorney. This firm has been my family's firm for years. Okay, I trust them. And that was a mistake. I didn't know it at the time. My husband was also ill at the time. He had Parkinson's and was sliding further and further along that route. He passed away before my mother did. He died in 2007. Mama hung on until 2012. Mm. But he was a free man because of what I learned very quickly in dealing with the attorney at the beginning. Mm. The first year they have quote-unquote regulations, and the commercial firms who handle guardianship, they're appointed by the court, they more or less get a pass on just about anything they want to do. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that was the case. But I saw it in action, and I managed not to create a situation where my husband needed guardianship, and I went through the court system again because I did not want to do that. I was standing in, at that point he was in a nursing home because he was quite ill, and my then attorney, which was a new attorney, said, well, I can help you with that. I'll send my paralegal over. And she sent the paralegal over. I was standing in the reception area for the home, and she said, here, sign these. And I looked at them, and the tears started coming down my face. I said, I can't sign this. This is the same form that I signed for Mama. Mm-hmm. I will not sign this form. And so I never did. Mm-hmm. But you just have to know what you're in for, my goodness. And I've met so many people now who have been through this crucible, mm-hmm. and it really is a crucible.
Wow. So they coerced your mom to nullify her power of attorney, naming you as power of attorney, and then, so they revoked it and then assigned a guardianship?
That's right.
I mean, that seems highly unethical and illegal on so many fronts. I don't even know how they can get away with it. And what is their end game? Is it a money maker for them? Why would somebody want to do that?
Oh, it's a great money maker for them. It's a control mechanism as well. And sometimes they come back and try to place other family members under guardianship also. There were times during my mother's situation where I was concerned they were, you know, making motions as if I needed help, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to manage, and they could help me. Mm-hmm. No, they could not help me.
Oh, wow.
So I actually saw there was a period of time when a large amount of press scrutiny suddenly fell on the industry, and they opened the court agendas to visibility on the internet. They usually didn't, but during this period of press scrutiny, they did. And I could see that there were many other people who were going through similar problems. And so I understood it's nothing personal. It's just an automatic assumption that you're worthy of some kind of punishment for being related to someone who has dementia, Alzheimer's, or some other thing that they have no control over, mm-hmm. and neither do you.
Yep. I used to host a radio program for about 12 years called Speak Up and Stay Alive. It was about patient safety. And during that process, I came into contact with the Ohio Guardianship Group and worked with them for a little bit and had several guests on my radio program. And I remember one story very distinctly where some gentleman had three children and somehow none of them were ever named as guardians. And so there was a court appointed guardian for this man out of Columbus, he was in Cleveland. So it wasn't even close by. And it ended out that they siphoned his money. They put him in a nursing home with a violent patient, and these three children could not do anything. And come to find out at the end, this attorney in Columbus was overseeing like 65 different, different people, and had never met one of them, and yet was handling their money. So.
Oh, yes. And that happened with my mother as well. They had 50 wards at the time that they were taking care of her. What they really want is they want control and money.
Yep.
Both of those things. And they want to remain to, quote unquote, administer the estate. Even though people who have wills and trusts, they break them. The judges will cooperate with them. Mm-hmm. I've had this ongoing discussion with a number of people who feel, you know, this is an irrevocable trust. They can't break
that. Can't mess with that.
They can, and they do.
So what, I know you wrote this book, besides reading your book, any one thing that stands out to you that you would give people advice to say, hey, I learned this the hard way, do this or don't do this?
Well, one of the things I learned the hard way was that my mother was keeping secrets from the rest of her family. And I wasn't aware of it. I didn't realize it consciously. And this came back and bit her badly because they made her do things that my younger cousin, I had a younger cousin and elder cousin from this one aunt, and the younger cousin was the person who made many, many issues for that particular situation. She would tell them what to do. She hadn't seen Mama in 4 years before she really needed guardianship. They had spoken on the phone a few times. You know, they would speak every week or two for, I don't know, half an hour on the phone. And my mother never told her anything that she thought would upset her. And so she never talked to her about her real activities, her real feelings, because she didn't want to make waves. Mm-hmm. Well, my aunt developed dementia, and nobody ever told us. So it was really my cousin who had the legal authority for my aunt. And that became an issue because people may not know this, and they really should check into it. In different states, there are lines of succession and relatedness. And if they want to make a problem between someone who's close to an individual, like I was with my mother, I saw her all the time, and estranged relatives, they will look for a line of consanguinity, how closely the person's related. And they will go to the person who is, quote-unquote, equally related. And most people don't realize that in many states, someone's sibling can be considered as closely related as their child. Mm-hmm. And that was how they did the manipulation in my family's case.
Oh, my gosh.
They went to the person who legally represented my aunt, which was my cousin, mm-hmm. And manipulated that way. And I didn't know it happened until I did discovery, and I became her, what you would call executrix in New Mexico. It's called the personal representative. Mm-hmm. After Mama passed away, I wanted to know what the devil happened.
Yes.
And so I subpoenaed. I had a wonderful attorney at that point who subpoenaed all the records into probate. People tell you avoid probate like the plague. But it was my saving grace, because in probate, which is normally public, you can subpoena records from financial advisors, you can subpoena health records, you can subpoena whatever you think you need to understand what happened to your loved one. And that was how I discovered that there was this manipulation of the whole family, and that meeting I told you about between the three attorneys and my mother had taken place just before the hearing. And I didn't even know that meeting took place.
Mm.
The person who told me she was my attorney never told me there was going to be a meeting or that there had been a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
All I heard at the hearing was that my mother had voided the power of attorney.
Wow, this is so messed up that you wonder how it can even continue.
Because it's all secret.
Yeah.
All of these hearings are secret. They're beginning to allow visitors into some of them after the very first hearing where they put people into guardianship in New Mexico. In many other states, they don't do that. I mean, you heard about Britney Spears and nobody
right.
attend those hearings.
Yep.
And the same thing is true in many other cases. In most states, there are only two states that are somewhat open, New York and Nevada. And there was a huge scandal in Nevada back in, 2014, 2015, around that time. There was a movie based somewhat on that situation. It was called I Care So Much.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they found that this woman who had been designated by the courts as guardian of I don't know how many people had been keeping their cremated remains in a storage locker and not even telling their families they had passed. Just absolutely horrendous stuff.
Yes. Let's encourage everyone to get copies of your book, just so they know what is the potential and some of the solutions to that. And then
they need to be very, very careful and watch their own state legislatures, mm-hmm. because there are constantly bills being introduced, and we have a number of them pending in our legislature right now that lessen the ability of families to have closure, to have information. There's one pending in Santa Fe at the Roundhouse, which is what we call our legislative assembly here. This particular bill gives the guardian the death certificate.
Oh.
Guardian gets the death certificate, not the family.
Oh, my gosh. This is...
And so if there's any question about, you know, what happened, how did the person pass, and so on, the medical investigator will only get information from the guardian and give information to the guardian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is horrible.
It's absolutely horrible. And then got that whole legal aspect. And fortunately, you were able to have legal counsel, but that is so expensive. So your next book, Questions About Legal Protection, Affordable Options for Individuals, Families, and Small Businesses, I'm assuming that kind of came on the heels of this to give.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many people came to me and said, well, that's all fine for you, but I couldn't afford an attorney after a certain point. What I did was to look at all the, I don't really want to call them discount legal services, but they are services that are available to people who don't have a law firm on retainer, aren't particularly close to an attorney, haven't had a need for legal services in a long time. Some of them are actually like subscription services.
Yeah, like Legal Shield.
Where you can just sign up and pay a small monthly fee.
Yeah.
And by the time you end up at the end of the year, if you've used the service 3 or 4 times, you have more than paid yourself back that fee.
Right, right. Right. I remember hearing about those like Legal Shield and some businesses even offered through payroll deduction that you could take part in these legal services. So that's one very, very good option.
Well, the good thing about the payroll deduction aspect of it is that it's your subscription.
Exactly.
It's not the company's subscription.
Right.
A lot of people had health insurance through their business, through the people they worked for, and then when they left that employment, they no longer had health insurance.
Right.
But this is if it's a payroll deduction, it's coming out of your money and it remains your subscription for as long as you want it.
Right.
Well, it could be somebody needs a letter to give to a school about something.
Right.
Or their employer needs a letter, or somebody gets a traffic ticket and wants advice.
Right.
Anything. I mean, there are so many things. I mean, when I started writing that book, I realized how many hundreds of thousands of suits there are every year in the United States.
Right.
And, you know, there are so many suits that it's almost like one chance out of three. If the number of people who are filing suits in federal court and state court, so many of them that the chances are maybe one out of three that you might be one of those people involved in a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's just that it's that bad.
It's very, very true. I'm glad that you were able to write these, because I know there were a lot of hurdles involved, but it's really helping so many people. You'll probably never even know how many people these two books will help. And then you're even continuing on the path for a new book that you're working on. They're coming for your elders and your inheritance, Ways to Protect Yourself, Mitigate the Damage, and Change the System. When will that be out? Maybe give us a peek into that.
I expect it to be out in late March of 2025.
Oh, coming soon.
Yes, coming very soon.
Goody.
Coming very soon, and I've taken a deep dive into all sorts of things, including how often, and perhaps more often now that state and local governments are feeling strapped after COVID, they will make close relatives responsible for medical bills that have been incurred by relatives.
Oh,
Yeah, it's happening on a fairly massive scale at this point. There were a set of old laws that were enacted during the Depression when people were abandoning their relatives because they didn't have any money, and the relatives didn't have any money, and they would have even less money if they tried to care for their relatives. So during the Depression, a series of laws were enacted that enabled creditors to go after relatives of the person who owed the money. Well, that's starting to happen again. There are a lot of nursing homes that have gone bankrupt all over the country. Mm-hmm. And that is a disaster for the area where it happens. And in order for it not to happen, they may reactivate. In fact, some states are known for activating these laws. And some people have found that one guy found he owed over $90,000 for his mother's hospital bill. His mother was living in Greece. His sisters were in Greece, but they were suing him because he lived here.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that is a definite threat you need to be aware of. And there was one couple that got sued for the man's parents who were in a nursing home for their bill. They wanted to take the difference of an amount. He had bought some property from his parents before they went into the nursing home, and the judge decided that he hadn't paid enough money for that property, and he wanted to collect the difference and give it to the nursing home.
Okay.
I mean, you have no idea the variety and inventiveness of the ways that these things are finesse. They are amazing.
This is a shocking conversation. I knew some of it, but to think that we're still heading on that track, I'm just wondering, none of this is right. Okay. It's just not right. So why is it still happening, and what can we do? Is there anything we could do to change this system? Because it's clearly not working in favor of the ward or their families. So what can be done?
Okay, well, first of all, we need to be vigilant. We need to be watching the laws in our state, examining the laws that are in our state now and whether they actually benefit the population, or do they just benefit a small cadre of interested people who are going to make money off of the law. Because a lot of us are kind of guilty of inaction.
Yes. Yep.
And it's the apathy that will get us, all of us, if we don't sit up and say, I object to this. Mm-hmm. This is not right. Because it isn't right, and there just are no two ways about the fact that we're being manipulated, used, and should not put up with it, in my opinion.
No.
My opinion.
Well, I
should not put up with this.
I agree. After listening to what you've had to say here, I hope that everybody becomes more aware of this and look at their own situations and look at their own areas and the laws within their state or in their town to see where they could get caught and what they should be doing ahead of time to avoid this. So such an extremely important topic. I'm really, really happy that you're bringing it to light. And I know there's so much more, but I'm just going to encourage people to get copies of both of your books, Protecting Mama, Surviving the Legal Guardianship Swamp, and Swamp It Is, and Legal Protection, Affordable Options for Individuals, Families, and Small Businesses. So is there anything we've missed? I know there's lots more, but anything we missed that you wanted to highlight?
I also teach and coach and do other things, and I have a website called dayspringresources.com where I have those functions available for people if they really want to have a deeper dive into knowing this. And my new book will have an offer in it for some free information, but you can also get that on my website, a free download that explains to you some of the financial issues that are involved in even trying to care for an elder.
All right. That was dayspringresources.com?
That's right.
Excellent. All right. We're speaking with Leonie Rosensteel, and you've heard a lot of shocking information here today. So, get a hold of her books, head over to her website, dayspringresources.com. Leonie, thank you. Thank you for the the pain, I'm sure it was, to get these books written and get them out there, but they're just so valuable. And I'm sorry you had to go through this, but you are a beacon of hope and light, I think, for those who are listening and those who read your books. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for inviting me. Pleasure to be here.